This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is a chilly Saturday, and Tech Talk is underway. Doug Swindehart joins us here on the program. And, of course, if you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to get a hold of the program. Our CCO Talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program. Hey, Doug, good to visit with you today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, love this time during the week.
Yeah, no doubt. The hour goes quickly, and we invite people to get in early if they want to visit with Doug. Once again, the number again, 651-461-9226. Doug, I wanted to start with something I brought up with John Hines before the top of the hour, and that is scams, and avoid getting scammed online or anything associated with your computer. We bring this up before, but I thought we'd run through some of the important tips to remember to avoid running afoul or getting mixed up with the bad guys online or a ransomware attack or a malware attack. And I came up with a couple of things, and I wanted to get your thoughts on each of these bullet points.
Sure.
Number one, careful with each email, especially if it has an attachment. Make sure you know where that is coming from. Your thoughts on that?
We cannot stress that enough. Email is probably the most transported spam that there is on the internet. It's absolutely crucial that people pay attention to these emails. And like you say, an attachment. But also, there now, if there is an image implanted in that email, if you open up the email, you don't even have to touch the image, and it may trigger a script. So yeah, it's and you know, about the time we think we're starting to get on top of this thing, the bad people, they come up with something new. It's just incredible what they're coming up with. But email is without a doubt the largest offender here, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and it could be from a company you do business with, a bank, a credit card company, some sort of other entity that you're familiar with, and that's why it's important to take pay very close attention to that URL, if you will. And maybe mm-hmm. you can explain a little more about that. What people should be looking for in that URL?
Yeah, you want to be looking at the domain name, and yep. they can actually put in logos and do cut and paste and make it all look real pretty, but they can't change the domain name. So whatever business you're doing business with, financial entity or whatnot, your bank, like us-bank.com, that's their domain name. Now, if you get something from US Bank that doesn't even have that in the web address, that's bad news. Can almost guarantee it. They're not going to go out and use a different domain name. They are building their brand, and they are building that domain name. So that's huge. And anytime you hover with your pointer over the top of a web link, it will show up, usually down in the lower left-hand corner, sometimes up in the upper right-hand corner, depending upon the program. But Thunderbird now, email client, and just like Google, if you take and you hover over that link, it displays the entire web link right there. So you have a good chance to avoid it completely. Yeah, this is really important, really, really important. So they can actually do spoofing of email addresses, and they can do spoofing of where it's coming from, but they cannot change that domain name.
So that is very important. And once again, attachments. Those you need to be wary of and make sure you know who's sending you that attachment. Photos, videos, documents, etc. Before you click, be very careful. One other one I wanted to bring up, actually a couple. Have your radar on high alert if someone calls saying your computer has been infected, hacked, or they need to take a look at your computer. That should be a gigantic red flag, right?
Oh, no doubt. And in fact, today, just the fact that they're using a telephone is a great, big, huge alert. I don't know anybody that's calling people on the phone to take care of their computers. I really don't. And another thing is how they represent themselves if they do happen to call. Well, yeah, I'm from Microsoft. Really? What's your address? Give me your telephone number. I'll call you back. If it's a good deal today, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. And another thing to watch out for, Steve, if it sounds too good to be true, I can damn near guarantee it is.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's no pie in the sky. There's no free rides today. Not that I know of, anyway. You can pick up some good deals, of course, but send us your bank routing number because you've inherited $10 million in Africa. What? Yeah, it's just outrageous.
Yeah, I also think in the final one about avoid getting scammed, phone calls a big one, emails, attachments are another one. But I also think it's important when sharing information online, double check, triple check, make sure it's legit, particularly when you're doing transactions or using a credit card. Make sure the site's legit. Deal with legitimate businesses. It gets back to what you said a moment ago. If it sounds like the deal's too good to be true, well, it probably is.
Oh, no question. And the thing is with this is just you generally have common sense and just realize that, and as far as our private information, that cat's out of the bag. Yeah, you know, you're talking about, well, how do they know they're doing business with this bank? And that's all public resources. But not to mention that if you stop and you take a look at some of these agreements, and I'm not a lawyer, but I can read. And, okay, I'm going to log in with my Facebook account, or I'm going to log in with my Google account or my Apple account. I just don't see that at all. The way these things are put together, if you ever notice, is you're going to give us and our partners permission to use your data like this, and this for performance and analytics and marketing and this.
Sure.
Okay, so now when you cancel that email with the particular person that you wanted to get the messages from, that does nothing for the partners that you told them that they had permission as well. And that's how they're getting around this. Well, you shut it off, but now you get 100 of them, 100 more. So be careful. Be cautious.
Yeah. And that is another great piece of advice because you can hit the easy button, so to speak. Well, I'm going to use my Google login, or I'm going to use this and I'm going to use that to log into this and that. Things start getting really tangled up. Mm-hmm. I prefer to stick to separate login credentials for each site. I don't like to get that stuff intertwined.
And well, you should. Yeah, there's so many bad things can come of that. Just stop and consider, Steve, if somebody were to get a hold of your Gmail account, for instance, it might be a rare thing, but it could happen. Not only is that compromised, but every site, which I doubt that you can remember all of them, every site that you use Google as your login for that, that's accessed. It's rock and roll time now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it can get so bad so fast, and to unwind it, oh, man, it could take you days and days and days. It's incredible.
Yeah, so just some advice about avoid getting burned by scammers. Hey, Doug, We want to get to the calls, we want to get to the texts, and we will do that. By the way, our talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Doug's in for the entire hour. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and you sent me a link to it, is a new device that could be coming out this year. Tell us a little bit more what this is. Is it the next iPhone? Hard to say. But It is very interesting.
I believe it might be. The thing about the Rabbit R1 is this thing is, it's going to use your iPhone and your Android if you wanted to, but it's kind of what I think people really expected from a computer before they ever touched one. This thing is, it's not only has the ability to search and deliver information in words, but this thing actually will take action on your behalf. And so it becomes much, much simpler. And they created this thing called the LAM, the large, it has to do with when you run a search and you get all these results, instead of, well, here you go, here's the results, you decide, it actually will go in and start to make decisions as to why you should take this one. And you still have the ultimate choice, of course. Just that alone is huge, absolutely huge. But this device, it's small. It's about, 2.5, 3 inches by 2.5, 3 inches, maybe an inch thick. It doesn't really have a pointer. Everything is actual language, just speech. And I am amazed at the speed of this thing. I'm hoping that it will continue this. But yeah, this got just an enormous amount of attention at the CES, and they're probably going to be rolling it out in the next month, 2 months. And for $200, I think I'm going to have one.
Yeah, and it's an AI-driven interface. It was introduced this month and Consumer Electronics 2024, and it is at, you know, an AI-based tool, if you will, that uses AI and voice commands, as you said, to get to the internet and do all sorts of things. So,
no doubt.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun to watch this one.
Yeah, and if you get one, let us know. Let's go to the calls.
I will.
Let's go to John in Minneapolis. John, you're on Tech Talk with Doug.
Hey, afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, Steve. Doug, the question I have, I've got Norton antivirus for my devices, and I have just the basic service. I get a lot of pop-up messages from Norton saying, you better watch out. They could be checking you on the dark web. You pay this additional monthly fee to, you know, increase your, have better coverage for the antivirus. I'm not sure how to proceed on taking advantage of that, or is that a waste of money, or are there other ways to go with that?
You know, the thing is they're all doing this, and it really is more about upselling and putting a larger bottom line on their end. I always like to, if it's really getting annoying, call them up and say, you know, when I bought this, you guys told me it was the latest and the greatest, and I'd never need anything else. Should I get rid of you and go with somebody else? And just watch them backpedal. I just think it's overdone. And remember, the thing with security is they've already accepted responsibility to keep your system clean. And they can talk about the dark web all they want to, but I don't think very many people have actually even experienced the dark web. So most people don't even know how to get on it. It's not that simple. And really, it's not like a separate group of computers that have all kinds of powers that you and I don't have. That's not it. It's just a computer, just like every other web server, that only allows entrance with specific logins. The dark web, I think, has been beat to death, and I think that today there's too many companies using fear tactics in an attempt to sell. Personally, I would not upgrade that at all. Not a bit. And if you have some questions about that, give me a call next week, and we'll have a chat about antivirus and malware, and I hope this helps. But I'm not real big on upscaling. If it would have been that good, they should have sold it to me right out of the door. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, you may have a credit card that you've been with for a while and have a good track record. Sometimes they will offer these services. But I still feel like the big three credit reporting agencies, and I think it is important to monitor your credit, it is still really a good way to keep an eye on that sort of thing. You know, what is being reported, credit accounts opened in your name, etc. you can lock those up. You can make sure you get a notification if anybody tries to open credit under your name or your social security number. And those big three credit reporting agencies, and I know one of them got in trouble a while back for a data breach. But my point being is that there are a lot of tools out there that can help you monitor without giving someone an extra $10 a month.
Oh, absolutely. The federal government, the FBI, the NSA, they all have consumer sites, consumer portions on their site, helping you to see what's out there today, what they're having traffic on, that kind of thing. That's huge. And here's the thing with these credit bureau reports. Unless you're actually pulling a credit bureau, it's not going to affect your credit rating. See, normally if you start pulling credit bureau reports, it's going to reduce your credit rating, and we want to kind of avoid that. However, I also think that it's time that we have some national laws passed that says that a consumer has the right to go in and read that data that's theirs, they own, anytime they want without any type of penalty.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see that happen as well. And I think that we need to have a little bit more assurances coming from the credit bureaus themselves. We anticipate that they are stand-up people and they'll never have a problem. Well, let's face it, they live in the same human world as the rest of us. And I think that it's real important that we get those assurances from them and they are honest enough to, if something happens, let us know. Come out and admit it. We understand you're human. We all are. But that's the big thing, too. There's no sense in trying to hide anything because it's going to come out sooner or later. I agree with that, Steve, 100%.
Quick break. We'll come back. We have more Tech Talk on the way, and we will go to our text line. And great way to go, call or text 651-461-9226 here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. It is Tech Talk Saturday. It's between 3 and 4. Sports schedules permitting. At the end of the month, we'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field. So no program on the 27th, a couple of weeks out. We will be back next week. Once again, Doug Swinhart joining us. And you can be a part of the program, 651-461-9226. Once again, Twins Fest from Target Field. Live coverage between 11 and 5, 2 weeks from today. A little sign of spring on this cold day. All right, Doug, someone's trying to get Linux running. They have Linux Mint Cinnamon on a flash drive and Etcher installed on a laptop. I have no idea what that is. What do I do next?
Oh, you take Etcher and you use Etcher to burn the ISO for that you got downloaded from Linux onto a USB drive. It's really simple. And so once you get Etcher installed, just open it up and it'll say, well, what file do you want to burn? That's where you select the cinnamon.iso. And then it'll say, well, where do you want to burn it to? And here's where you got to pay attention. Don't tell it your hard drive because it'll wipe out your hard drive. You tell it that, I think it's going to give you a warning, though. And just check the size. And say you got a cruiser, it's going to label it cruiser. If it's a PNY, it'll label it PNY. And then once you select that, you click one button and it's just automatic. In minutes, you have a bootable USB drive. Now you take that, you put it in the USB, of course you leave it right in if it's a computer you're using, reboot, and your biggest challenge is probably going to be how to boot to that USB drive. For an HP, it's pretty simple. You just tap on your escape key as it's coming up, and it comes up with a boot select menu, and you can see your USB drive selected, and you go. With a Dell, I believe it's F12, but there's a series of numbers. It's usually F1, F2, F10, F11, or F12, or the delete key. And I've been known to not be able to find any information on some of the off brands, and I just try each key until I get in. And then once I get that boot menu, I can boot to that USB drive. Be aware, you're going to have a full-blown Linux system running on that USB drive. Your computer is not going to be near as fast pulling off the USB drive as it will your hard drive or your SSD. That's just a fact of life. They're just a data transferring. However, it gives you the opportunity to run a test drive. See if you like it. See if it runs going to run good and if it's going to be stable. And most of them, once you say, oh, man, I'm really liking this, up in the left-hand corner of the screen, they've got an install. So you don't even have to reboot. Just start the install procedure. if you've got your data backed up. And that's the big thing, too. Pay attention to your data. We don't want you losing any data. That's job one. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and with the data, whenever you're doing this sort of stuff, you want to make sure that's backed up in the cloud, off the computer, on an external hard drive is ideal, somewhere off, so you can actually know your data's there and unplug it, separate it from the work you're doing on that machine.
Oh, no doubt. And my hope is that this listener that called in for this advice or text, my hope is that they had a full copy of everything that was important, at least one, hopefully two, better yet, three, and know the difference between a backup and a copy and a paste for the full copy. I think you're going to be using copy and paste more than you realize. I would hope that user had that all done before they ever went and downloaded their copy of Linux Mint. And Linux Mint will give them the same advice. If we never have any data loss, that's good.
Here's another one. I installed Sumatra PDF Reader. However, when I try to search for a word in a PDF document, I'm not able to find an advanced search feature like Adobe Reader has.
They've got them out there. If you're using PDFs more than like a normal user, you might want to look at something different than Sumatra. You might want to look at Foxit, F-O-X-I-T, but there's a number of them out there that will do exactly what you want. And by the way, I use Sumatra on my machines, and if I've got something complex in a PDF, I just open it up in Libre Word, and I have all the functions of a word processor, and I can save it back as a PDF. So that's something worth playing with, too. I like to keep my work as minimal as possible. The problem, I think, today is we are just over-inundated with software and apps, and they all do a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there, and that's where that rabbit's going to shine. It's going to pull all those together. Even if it stays on your machine, it's just going to do it as one. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, that really is the big thing, is experiment with LibreOffice. I think you're going to say, I may not even need another reader. It's just that good.
And that is LIBRE, LibreOffice.org is where you can go for that. It's been around a long time. I mean,
oh, you bet.
You've talked about it for many years on the show, Doug. It really is good stuff.
Oh, it is. It was actually open source from day one, but it was created by a group of employees working for Sun Micro, and Sun Micro was a huge mini mainframe company worldwide. And if I'm not mistaken, they sold out to Oracle. I'm sure you've heard of Oracle, that little company downtown Minneapolis, right, Steve? And today, Oracle now has OpenOffice because they branched out, and the Libre people took their software and went out on their own. So you actually have more than one. In fact, you got several suites that you can download for free and open, edit, and save any Microsoft Office file. I just think people need to experiment with those and at least have one on the side, even if you're planning on using Microsoft products as your go-to. Nothing wrong with having a backup. It's like multiple browsers. And I hope that helps.
Quick break. It is 3:30. We'll have an update on a chilly forecast. There's no doubt January weather settling into these parts. We'll have an update on that momentarily, and then more Tech Talk. And you're always welcome to get in touch with us here on the Talk and Text line. And that is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Talk, Doug Swinhart aboard through 4 o'clock today. And if you want to be a part of the program, we've got the talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And let's just jump right back to that text line. It's been busy today. I've been getting emails saying, Facebook has received a message that I need to change my password. Just delete it. It seems fishy. What about you, Doug?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't. I think I would change the password, but I would be real cautious as to how I did it. Don't use the link if it's provided. Facebook is having some issues with credentials, and they have for a long time, but anytime you have this many users, it's bound to happen. Not to mention this many employees. And Facebook grew like way, way fast. In fact, they're still going up and down. It's just bound to happen. It really is. And Facebook doesn't put a whole lot of priority, even though they want us to believe they do. They don't put a lot of priority on the user security. It's mostly for them and their customers and their vendors. So, yeah, I think that it would be a good idea to change the password, but make absolutely certain you change it on all your devices and hope that you didn't use like a Google login or some, I like to call them, just passing in the night, handing out your credentials. I don't agree with any of that.
All right. So that is one you want to make sure that you keep track of that, and I think managing passwords. And let's follow up on that. This can be a real can of worms, and you got to find a way to keep track of them. And writing them on a post-it note and putting them on your computer, that's not a good idea either.
Yeah, bottom of the keyboard either.
Yeah, people running afoul and losing track of their passwords. Say, for instance, for their home internet, the router, the Wi-Fi, the list goes on and on and on. If you're using Google, the one password you absolutely positively cannot lose is the one that gets you into your Google suite of services.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Steve. I just couldn't. And this is something that I also have struggled with over the years. I'm very, very grateful that once I got in touch with Proton AG, I set up with their mail. Well, Proton AG actually gives me a free password manager that works. You can put a little extension in every browser, and you don't even need the extension in the browser. You can just open up proton.me, sign into your account, click on the password manager, and they're all there. And they encrypt them on your end and their end. Proton AG is one of the largest, most successful security companies on the planet, and they're based in Switzerland. It's just a wonderful, wonderful suite of products. Email, password manager, Drive, calendar. They're growing by leaps and bounds. I love this product. Absolutely love it.
3:39, 21 minutes now in front of 4 here on Tech Talk and News Talk 830 WCCO. Is it safe to use the unsubscribe to stop getting repeated emails with ads?
Normally I would say yes, but I don't anymore because and that's what really pushed me to read these contracts. They have done this legally. When I said, yep, I want that newsletter, I thought I was getting it once a month or once every 2 weeks. Every day, 5 to 8 pieces of mail telling me this, everything under the sun from pots and pans to dishes to fishing equipment, you name it. And so I unsubscribe. The instant I unsubscribe, I start getting emails and spam and junk mail from 25 other companies. I don't even know who they were. I didn't sign up for them. And it has to do with this us and our partners line in these contracts. So I'm hoping that somebody real strong in law challenges this in the courts and puts an end to this. Yeah, these contracts that, or these agreements that we have to agree to within 20 seconds, 700 pages. There's no way anybody could read that. I mean, it's just beyond human comprehension.
No, nobody wants to read that stuff.
No, you shouldn't have to.
No.
Yeah, a little bit of trust on the other side is going to go a long way, as far as I'm concerned. But I just quit it. You're better off to just set up a filter and a rule. And all email clients have this. You get an email from that, you mark it as spam, you report it as spam, and delete it. You never see it. I've done that on a bunch of mine in my Gmail and Google.
I completely agree. If I get bombarded, say I buy something online or use a service online, and that's fine, and they start overwhelming me with emails, I just mark it as spam. And even in my old Yahoo account, does a pretty darn good job of weeding that out. I've said it before on the show a lot as of late. This sort of stuff is whack-a-mole. There's no doubt about it. But the only way to do it, I believe, don't bother with the unsubscribe. Mark it as spam. Let your spam filter take care of it. Because my Gmail and Yahoo spam filters, they're pretty good.
Excellent. And the thing about when you mark it as spam, Steve, that I don't think a lot of people realize is there's some large companies keeping track of that, especially Google. And if they get so many reports, they will actually put a watch on that domain name that's sending those out. And if they get too many, it gets blacklisted. Oh, man, try to unwind that on the Internet. I had a mortgage company years ago where one of the brokers were actually using email, sending out 10,000, 15,000 a day. Internet service provider got a hold of me. I couldn't tell who it was throughout the whole company, but sent out a deal warning them, you can't do this. You got to stop it. And 2 weeks later, email's done. It took 18 months to get that back to be a valid domain name. And there's services that can do email marketing. They're set up and they know how to go about this, and they stay within the parameters of an email marketing. And they get permission from all these servers before they start. So it's not just a see what you can get for free type thing.
Yep.
You got to pay attention today.
Yeah, but once again, I lean on my spam filters. And
absolutely.
I think marking it as spam, good stuff. And I think, great example. I bought something for the holidays on a website from a reputable retailer. I can't believe how many emails I'm getting from these people every day. I know they're trying to sell more, but give me a break. Now you're just annoying me. I bought something. I spent real money with you, and I'm happy with the product. But come on, 4 or 5 emails a day?
Yeah, it's disrespectful.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, it's disrespectful, and I think that, and I think people are reacting to that in an extremely negative way. I'm not going to do business with them people anymore. I think at the end of the day, it's going to cost them a lot more money trying to gain these little pennies because they have a free method of marketing, and that's really what people think is email, just free marketing. Yeah. Well, it's not. You still got to behave.
Yeah, you're annoying people. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Ellen from Outing. Beautiful part of the state. Ellen, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow, I'm surprised you know of it.
Know the area well. Drove through there many, many times on the way to a family friend's cabin when I was a youngster. They were up on Big Thunder Lake, so been through Outing many times.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
I'm an old computer person. I'm now retired. Used to have my own business. I have hundreds of personal documents that I did. I was doing desktop publishing that I did in PageMaker. Mm-hmm. And my computer's a Windows 7. I want to convert over to 10 so badly, but I need to be able to have PageMaker. And I go online and I read people saying that they've gotten it to work on a Windows 10. I've got the CDs. I can't get it to work on a Windows 10. Any advice?
Yeah, I think you can. What you got to do is you got to install it in compatibility mode. Give me a call next week and I'll walk you through that. It's kind of involved to go into over the internet. And I've heard this a lot. I used to use PageMaker when it first came out. many years ago, and it's to this day, I still think it's viable. I don't know why that company isn't doing better than they are. They really should. Because that was like not just a word processor. It was almost like a word publishing, like a desktop publishing all in one package. I like PageMaker. I really did. Give me a call sometime, Monday, Tuesday. I'm semi-retired myself, so you won't have any problem getting a hold of me. And we'll walk you right through that.
All right. That is outstanding. Thanks for the call, Ellen. Beautiful part of the world, Roosevelt Lake. I think Outing is tucked right in there. And great, great part of the state of Minnesota. And, Doug, we'll have your phone number and email at the end of the program. And I want to mention this before we take another break, but you are willing to help people during the week if we throw out your phone number and email, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't always get to everybody, but I do my best. Oh, Stevie, I got to tell you this real quick. I don't mean to interrupt. The R1 sold out in a day. One place sold 10,000 of them day one. $199. I think I predicted this one right on the money.
Yeah, and the thing is about that piece of technology we talked about earlier, it's the Rabbit R1. You can search online. When I read more about it, you sent me a link and said this is a big deal, and AI, and it's kind of a newer interface than, say, a smartphone or certainly a laptop or a desktop computer, but it's still a way to get to the Internet and use the Internet and computing power to help in your daily life, daily tasks, etc. But what I've found very interesting is that it's not going to take long for other companies to capitalize and put out other pieces of hardware similar.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah. With 8 billion people on the planet, if anything that's going to make money, that somebody's going to be down the street going to do it cheaper and hand it to you less. I still think that these original products, they're going to be a cut above. They really are. That was the case with almost every Apple that came out, the ProBooks and the iPhones, and just the fact that it's geared, the whole artificial intelligence is geared to help the end user. I really like that. Now, you know as well as I do, Steve, there's going to be these businesses that are copycats. They're going to go out and grab that, and they're going to reverse that. They're still going to do AI, but in the background, the AI is going to be sending them all kinds of personal information. They're going to be selling that in the background. I hope we can keep that to a minimum. So I'm kind of excited to see the progress of this over the next 18 months.
Yeah, it's worth the read. Really interesting technology. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a Lenovo that came with free McAfee antivirus software. They haven't used it yet, but they're being hounded to install it. We'll get into that with Doug coming up in a moment. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday, and our number is 651-461-9226. Still time to get in. 651-461-9226. That is our talk and text line. And it's good for all our shows 7 days a week here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock, sports schedules permitting. We will be back next week, but in 2 weeks, the annual Twins Fest from Target Field will have coverage almost all day, beginning at 11 a.m., continuing until 5 p.m. So in 2 weeks, no show, but we will have Twins Fest coverage here on CCO. So we look forward to that. As the Twins get ready for 2024, and they have the Winter Caravan going out shortly, and then, of course, Twins Fest, and then the countdown to pitchers and catchers reporting. All right, Doug, from our text line, here's a good one. I bought a Lenovo PC from Costco in June that came with a free subscription to McAfee Antivirus. I haven't installed the McAfee, relying instead on Windows Defender. It's worked fine so far. I still get McAfee pop-ups at least once a day, sometimes two or three times a day, reminding me to install and take advantage. How do I get rid of that?
Yeah, there's a program called Antivirus Removal, and that will take it out like a shot. And I would suggest you use that. And interestingly enough, Lenovo and McAfee, there's some scuttlebutt going on. McAfee came out and started to announce end of life for their free product on Lenovo's. And the dates they put out were June 2023, and January 16th, 2024. We're there. So I don't know if this person would even dare initiate McAfee, because I think as soon as you do, it's end of life. Yeah, McAfee partnered up with Lenovo in the hopes of selling antivirus. But when people buy a computer and they're told, well, you get free antivirus, well, why should I have to pay for it? It's never worked out. It really hasn't. I'm not real big on McAfee. I think it's kind of resource heavy. And if you're looking for a free one, over and above Windows Defender, get Bitdefender. And Bitdefender. It's one of the few free ones that are out there. It'll stay free forever. It's a great program. So, yeah, McAfee is, I think, too resource hungry.
Yeah, it's been around a long time. One thing we did not bring up on the show, and we should right now, Pervasor. If you have a Windows machine, get that program, right, Doug?
Oh, man. I did a computer the other day, and it was just kind of sluggish. And this was a big machine. 64 gigs of RAM, fast hard drives, and just sluggish. Ran Pervasor on it, and I swear to God, it was like a different machine, Steve. Yeah. Oh, man, just tremendous power. Yeah, I really like that program. It's the best you can do. Pervasor.com.
Yeah, and easy to find, and you get it for free, or pay a little money and get the pro version. Really good stuff. Highly recommended. Hey, Doug, we're almost out of time. The hour blew by today. We'll be back next week between 3 and 4. If people want to reach out to you during the week, how do they do it?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, they can get on the email, I hope, admin@wccotech.com. admin@wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, good to visit with you. Have a good weekend. Stay warm, Doug. Always good to chat with you.